The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And I'm Jess.
And, well, man, suffice it to say we're going to be talking about Pokemon Go in this episode.
Oh, okay.
It's been taking the entire
this
world by storm.
This episode is going to be just like my Facebook feed, full of Pokemon Go and almost nothing else.
But...
And you
do I? We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll discover whether or not Boar loves Pokemon Go in just a moment. We'll get into that soon. There's other stuff that we're going to be talking about. We've got some fun sci-tech stuff going on and plenty of neat stuff in the nerd world, of our own personal nerd worlds, actually, I should say. For example, we met a fan from Sweden recently, or at least some of us did.
I was not there. I saw the pictures, though. Who was it?
His name's Stefan, and he... came from Sweden to the United States with his friends, and they drove cross country. And
does he have a handle name? Like, does he have a screen name that he goes by?
To my knowledge, no, he does not.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but he's been around on Facebook and sent us a message, and we met up with him, and it was great. It was really cool. Enjoyed meeting him, learning about his life, and hanging out at the Geekeasy. And then I know he and Doug and Laval got together for some dinner somewhere, and I guess almost went to a shooting range. I don't.
And then we never heard from him again. He missed his flight the next day. It was so weird.
No, I've been getting updates. He's been hitting up different locations. I think Baton Rouge, maybe, and Nashville for sure.
Is he just vacationing across America?
Yeah.
Oh, because he's preparing for when our downfall happens after November. Yeah.
And the Swedes take over?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I'm totally... I've seen their country. They can take over any day of the week. With their 200 people, they can take over.
Lingonberry berries are pretty amazing.
So. Yeah. Yeah. If you know, I mean, all of our furniture will be sort of, you know, subject to crushing small children, but, and very difficult to assemble. But the benefit is
their population's so low.
Sweet, sweet, succulent lingonberries on absolutely everything.
And those meatballs.
Yeah.
Just get out of here with those meatballs.
Worth it.
Meatballs in every hole.
Oh, man.
Whoa. I prefer to keep balls out of most of my holes, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't. Can you elaborate?
Nope.
All right.
But with lingonberries on them, who knows? Anything's possible.
They might burn a bit.
We recently had another new show launch here on Nerdy Show, RPG from Scratch, coming from the same team as our other new, recently debuted podcast, Bad Storytellers. It's Josh and Doug from Ghostbusters Resurrection, as well as Liam and Max, two newcomers to the network. In Bad Storytellers, they examine the art of writing, criticize their own and each other's work, and talk about the pop culture that they're consuming and the writing in it. And in RPG from Scratch, they're building their own role-playing system from the ground up.
That sounds... how long is the show, usually?
About, like, an hour-ish.
And in, like, an hour, they create an entire, like, game from scratch?
No. Rules, everything? No, it's an ongoing pursuit.
Oh, I was like, every episode, they create a new one. I was like, whoa.
No. But at some insane. Point, they will be doing playtests, so if you like our, you know, tabletop role-playing shows, then you might want to check out RPG from Scratch, because it's got the technical side, and then also we'll have the narrative side as well. Now, Jess and I are both... going to San Diego Comic-Con real soon.
Yeah, like next week. No, week after. Still crazy.
Yeah, It's looming.
God, there's like a Comic-Con every week. Can we just end it? So how many comics fucking come out every 2 weeks? Well, there's a new Comic-Con.
I believe...
We got this writer. We got this artist. They were just over here a week ago. Just stay put and one will happen in your town.
You've actually much, touched on something here, Brandon, that's actually...
I touch a lot of things.
it's pretty big deal. We're in the middle of what is a absolute convention bubble right now, and almost no conventions have anything to do with comic books anymore.
Wait, that's so true. What do you do there?
It's kind of like a pop culture media convention. Like, the comic book component of it is woefully small, and many people who are actually selling comic books there anymore are pulling out.
So... So is it like MegaCon where there's some guest stars and then a bunch of vendor tables and that's really it?
Yeah.
That's
Well, on a bigger scale,
but probably. with a lot more money thrown around. Like the thing is, Comic-Con's like, what is it like?
A convention.
It's a very extreme variation on a nerd convention.
Jacked up by like 10,000. It's just, there's just so many people. And then like crazy obsessed people, like people who wait for Hall H, which is where the major announcements happen. So that's where the Star Wars panel was last year. And they wait for like a full day to get into a specific panel.
I have never been excited about anything enough in my life to wait a full day to
get
into anything.
I'm a really terrible fan. But yeah. I like things a lot. And even when I like things a lot, I still won't do very much.
Like, I like it, but
for them, yeah.
There's 5 minutes. Yeah, screw it.
Well, especially not the usual case as with Comic-Con, where in some of the smaller panels, you may encounter some stuff that's downright exclusive, and due to, say, copyrights or something, you may never see it again. But the reality with Hall H is, you're probably going to see whatever they're showing you in just a few months later.
So what you're saying is it's like E3, where you wait, you fly to this town, and you go and wait in line to see something for 3 hours. They show you 20 minutes, and then the next day they show everyone in the world the same thing. And you're like, well, why did I wait for that?
Sometimes. And they really do try to make the experience of being there special, but for the bigger stuff, it is kind of like, what? You just want to be in the same room as them, and that's okay. That's cool. Do your thing. It's an experience. You might meet some fun people in the crowd. But that's why I go for the people, the folks within the industry that I meet, not for the convention experience itself, though.
What about the convention girls? That's why I go. Does San Diego Comic-Con have that? Is everyone dressed up as, like, Morgan and Lilith and Felicia?
Are you talking about cosplayers or booth babes, Brandon?
Well, they're both. They have professional cosplayers.
There's lots of professional cosplayers.
There's that. They got tons.
That's what I'm talking about.
But just the ladies, huh?
I've been to a few conventions in my time, Cap. I've never seen a guy. Maybe once.
You don't need are you, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about people who get paid professionally to go to a convention and
he's
pretend.
He's saying he's never seen booth dudes.
Yeah, there's no booth dudes.
Okay.
We could be the first booth dudes, you and I. Guys, we should do this.
I think that's...
Hashtag booth dudes.
Boothdudes.com.
You might find
rent us for conventions.
We should set that up.
You need a dude? You got a booth? We're your booth dude.
Booth dudes.
Booth dudes.
You want us to dress up as stuff? We'll put clothes on.
Look at that. I got a green hat. I'm Link now, I guess. Booth dudes. It's just like a sports cap, but it's green. I'm Link. I got a blue earring.
We'll just wear a green screen and just project stuff.
And a white shirt that says the character I'm playing, like Link in black letters. And that's, I'm Link.
Even worse, it has to say Zelda on it. Just to piss everybody off.
Now that is a good cosplay, and you should take, if you, next time you do find yourself at a convention.
I'm sure it's been done, but no, it's great.
I've never fucking seen it.
You should go on your $1 million idea website.
You mean buy your way to cool? Oh no, what, $1 million ideas.
$1 million idea.
Wasn't that your idea?
Who the hell
Have
knows?
We ever even talked about this on Nerdy Show?
It needs to go on the website.
Okay, let me share this premise with you.
I think we have years ago.
It's called, it looks like it says $1 million ideas, but it's $1 million ideas.
So you can buy the ideas, they're only a dollar.
Basically, we come up with the ideas and you buy them for a dollar. They're legally yours.
We won't take credit anymore. I can come up with like at least 1,000 in a day.
I believe that.
Yeah. But
I believe that too.
I've been around you before.
We haven't
website. Sort of also a great Patreon perk. Like, here, give us a dollar. We'll give you an idea.
Oh. What, need something to do in your free time? Send us a dollar and I'll give you something to do. I'll give you an idea you can run with it. I don't know where that would go.
Just any kind of idea. Like, it's not necessarily a story idea. It might be an activity.
You ever gotten a popsicle stick, put it in a fish, put it in your freezer and then eaten it? Oh, done. Fish one
popsicle.
Idea. That's one idea. Done. Just cover it in cherries. Cherry flavored fish popsicle.
Can we recycle the bun is the fish?
Yes.
That is a $1 million idea.
Yeah.
As in, you'll buy it for a dollar, and you could make $1 million from it.
But in my personal opinion,
for that dollar, learn how to be cool because that costs $15.
Yeah, buy your way
you
to cool.
You have to buy
it's,
the ebook.
$14.95 specifically at buyyourwaytocool.com. All right. Anyway, so we're gonna be at SDCC, San Diego Comic Con, and if you guys want us to check out anything in particular, we'll be your eyes and ears on the floor because while we're doing the stuff that we're doing there, we'll do your stuff too, or we'll try because some of it involves hella big lines. We have one request in so far, and that request is to check out the Mystery Science Theater panel, which we're going to do our damnedest to do.
Oh, that actually sounds cool.
Brandon requests pictures of booth babes.
That's all I request. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, that's all I want. Pictures of girls.
And if you want to share them with me too, I'll look.
In fact, share them in the same room with Bor and I. And yeah. Make sure the lights are down. Because we're going to not be wearing pants.
But just shirts.
I'd like to request
a sleepover. I'd like to
request a partition between me and Brandon.
I'll partition and, you.
Yeah.
Hey, Bor, I'll give you a partition.
Sweet.
On the inside.
What?
I don't know what that means, but I've derailed this conversation twice, so moving on. Back to not interrupting you.
I feel divided about that comment.
After San Diego Comic-Con, I'm going to be driving up to Los Angeles for a couple days. I'm already going to have some plans to meet some folks, including some fans. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, reach out to me, cap@nerdyshow.com. We'll see what we can do. And then I'm flying to Tucson, Arizona for Camp Fangamer. At the end of July, the last 3 days of July, and that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. You've heard me talk about it in several consecutive episodes, so I won't trouble you with that again. However, if you are in that area or you'd like to be, it's going to be awesome. And I am the official host for all of the panels. Friday is panel day, and I'm hosting all of them, including the ones I'm running.
You must be really good at panels.
Yeah.
Really good. I know we've talked about this before. I know you like panels, but you must be good at them for them to say, you know what, you're doing every single panel. You know every single thing about every topic.
There's a lot of cool people who are doing some cool panels, and I'm just there to make sure it all runs smoothly. And introducing them, and seeing how much I do need to step in, if at all.
So you're like the panel ref.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
If I had a whistle, I should probably get a whistle.
Wear a striped shirt.
Cap has a degree in panelology.
I'll wear a striped dress, Brandon.
Thank you.
Okay. The ref dress. I have one. It's good. Yeah, and then that's it. So that's the end of July. During that time, I think we're gonna see what happens when an episode of Nerdy Show gets made and I'm not a part of it.
Do have some preliminary plans for that. We're not gonna tell you though.
Yeah, that's fair. So cool. Now, before we dive into Pokemon Go, what has everyone been doing aside from Pokemon Go?
Oh, is there anything else?
I know, Brandon, you and Bor have been playing some video games that aren't Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I've been playing video games that are actually designed to be fun. That's snap!
We already got into it!
Because that's what they're for. So here's the thing. So I really wanted to play Doom. I've never been a huge fan of Doom, but the new one looked really good. And I was like,
it is really good.
I don't want to drop $60 on it. So I was walking by a certain video game store the other day that I don't want to mention. And I don't want to mention why I was walking by it either, Pokemon related. and Doom was on sale for like 50% off.
Yeah, yeah. They've been having some really good sales on
it. It was a brand new copy. They're like, do you want to use one? I was like, no, I don't want a fucking used one. What do I look like, an asshole? And so I got Doom, and it's a really fun game. I don't care about multiplayer.
Yeah, the multiplayer, I don't. Whatever. I couldn't care.
I've got Overwatch for multiplayer.
About it all. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Doom's a really fun, really good game.
Yeah.
And they gave me a shit ton of posters.
How far did you get?
I'm at like mission 8. I've been going through the levels and unlocking every challenge and every secret.
Sometimes that stuff is really well hidden.
That is the most fun part for me, is going back through levels and finding like unlocking the classic stages. Because hidden in every stage is like an 8-bit version, like an 8-bit section that you walk into.
It's not 8-bit. It's just the original Doom.
Yeah. But you walk through a set. You'll find that there's a hidden lever in every single stage. It's really hard to find sometimes. And it unlocks this door randomly.
Which you also have to find.
Yeah. And then you go through it and suddenly you're in like an old-timey Doomscape.
That's so good.
But it just really unlocks.
And the music changes and everything. Yeah. And the enemies walk around all stupid.
But it really just unlocks the levels that you can go back to the main menu and play like levels, classic Doom levels.
That's so cool.
It is really cool. And like I showed you a picture the other day of there's like a Dovahkiin from Skyrim. Like there's a mission where you're in hell, and behind a pillar there's a guy wearing like the Skyrim helmet with the horns coming out of it, and he's laying there dead, and there's just an arrow shoved through his knee. So obviously,
I have not found that yet.
That gag never gets old.
I saw the picture, but I didn't see the arrow knee. That's
oh yeah,
perfect.
There's an arrow going right through the knee, and there's there's nothing. He's just laying there. I was like, and it counts as a secret. So it's okay. I bequeath to you. They gave me several. I don't know what they are. I haven't looked at them yet, but they gave me a bunch of posters.
I'm already jealous, and I haven't seen them yet.
You want one? Here, there's two of them.
Or why don't you?
Sweet.
Why don't
or you can give them to
here.
Fans.
I'm gonna javelin this over to you.
Okay, javelin.
And we can do
there's
some
more
kinda,
than one in there.
Some kind of fan giveaway. This. Admittedly, okay. It's expensive to send stuff in tubes, so I'm a little hesitant.
Don't send. Just fold it and put it in a fucking box.
These are identical.
Are they? They're double sided. I know that.
Okay. They look the same.
And we got to describe it for the audio listeners here.
Mood.
Okay. We should add, if you haven't checked us out on video, we do a video show as well.
This side's the cyber demon.
Oh, which I haven't encountered yet, so I wonder when that's going to happen.
And
so it's a double-sided poster, and then there's Master Chief.
Yeah, I like the other.
It's the Doom Marine. He came first.
I don't like the Master Chief side as much, but that is the best weapon. So I've been playing that because why not? But the other thing I have to talk about for a minute, and I might go on a rant because I'm really excited about this. I might cry.
Pokemon Go.
So no, you know how I don't know a couple weeks or longer because I have no sense of time. We were doing a sort of drunk microsode about the history of like Game Boy.
Yeah, drunk Game Boy history. Yes,
drunk microsode. So I was talking about a game that I absolutely love called Final Fantasy Adventure.
For the
original chunky ass Game Boy, and it's a weird game that came out before Secret of Mana, but it's got Final Fantasy stuff in it and Secret of Mana stuff.
I believe
in
Secret
it.
Of Mana was like, and I'm gonna butcher this, but Second Densetsu 2.
Yeah,
and this was Second Densetsu original.
I guess I just know in America it's called Final Fantasy Adventure. So I've always wanted them to do a remake because it's like a 20-year-old game or something. And then at some point they came out with Sword of Mana.
Yeah,
and I thought that was supposed to be a remake, and then you play it and you know, they changed the characters, they changed the music, they changed the story, the landscapes, the items. Then you were like, well, that's not a remake. That's a completely different game. So I was depressed about that. Last week, I just go on, like, the Vita store for the PlayStation, and it's also on iPhones. I just look, and there's a game that says Adventures of Mana. And I'm like, oh, is this a new Secret of Mana game? Fucking amazing. Or is this an old game? So it's like $13, and I look at it, and I'm looking at the screenshots, and it is screen for screen. Final Fantasy Adventure, and it just came out, and it's a complete remake of the original Game Boy game, and I have no idea why they did this. It makes no sense. I don't know the story behind it. They just completely remade it this month, and it's out now. So, yeah.
You've been talking about this for years.
Oh, God.
Frustration. So
it's like a dream or a fantasy that's come true, and I can probably
die
now.
It's your Final Fantasy.
It is my Final Fantasy. Here's the funny thing is all they did was update the graphics. And it is literally screen for screen and word for word the exact same game. They just slightly tweaked the item menu. That's it. And that's.
Did they give you the nice Secret of Mana like ring menu?
Yeah.
Sweet.
For items they did. But so I'm playing it, and there's also this really cool option where the original Game Boy music is there, like the original chunky Game Boy music. But at any time, you can switch it to. They remastered all the music and made it 100% orchestrated. So every single song for this $13 game that's a remake is completely orchestrated and redone.
Cool. Huh,
and I have no idea why. So
what system is this for?
It's only on the Vita, which no one else has besides me, or iPhones. You can get it on iPhones, but it uses touchscreen controls.
Totally out of this club.
I hate touchscreen controls, so I don't recommend it on the iPhone, but go for it. But I think the only people that are actually going to like it is people who have played the original. Like
no.
Dan Blake. Who has it?
A.K.A. Arceus from Nerdy Show. And John West, I know, was into Secret of Mana's iPhone port. So
I always thought the touchscreen controls for that were wonky as hell.
If you like the Secret of Mana one, you might like this one.
Yeah. But it is a really good game because it's the only Final Fantasy.
Looks like it's on Android, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only one that has Chocobos and Moogles, guys. That's a big deal for me. I don't know about you. Okay. You won't see a Secret of Mana game with Chocobos and Moogles in it besides this one. And that's
how much did you say it cost?
It was like $13 when I bought it, and it's a completely remade.
It's $4.50 on Android.
Oh, Android has better prices. You might hate it. It's a very specific game where they have not upgraded any of the actual gameplay mechanics at all. But it has the stuff from Secret of Mana, like you know when you use a whip to get across chasms.
Yeah, yeah.
And you use like other items to like cut down certain things. Like they have that aspect in the game. It's really good.
Cool.
So
I love Secret of Mana. It's one of the best games ever made. So
and that's why I really like this game. Because that was the precursor to it. So that's all I've been doing is that in Doom. But I beat that, so now I'm just playing Doom. And Overwatch. And Pokemon.
What about you, Jess? You didn't anything aside from Pokemon Go?
Well, I've been getting back into learning Japanese because I fell off that horse after I went to Japan. Because now I was like, what's the
konnichiwa.
Point? But yeah.
Sold it.
And then I'm also catching up on my graphic novels. I'm part of a graphic novel of the month club at one of the local comic shops here, and I've always been too lazy to go actually get them because it's like a 20-minute scooter ride and I'm lazy, but I'm reading Kaiju Max, which is actually really interesting. It's a jail for kaiju, for monsters. And people keep them like trapped in there after they catch them like destroying villages and killing people. So
do people capture them using giant robots?
Yes, they do. Giant robots capture the
They're called Jaegers.
Yeah.
I've actually read the first 5 issues of Kaiju Max, and yeah, it's really good. And it's not what you might suspect. It's actually like got kind of like chibi-ish art.
Yeah.
Are the kaiju all hanging out in this prison, like getting buff and reading books?
Yeah, well, because ultimately it's actually the kaijus are characters. They're fully sentient. They have like hopes, dreams, and feelings.
I was joking. Are you being
serious? I'm being 100% serious.
There's
one. They'd just be raging monsters in a cell.
Sort of like one of the main
characters. Is there a dating simulator too?
What?
Should be. Pick your kaiju. Yeah.
I like Kyle.
Sorry, what were you saying, Jess?
Oh, no, but I was saying, like, yeah, the first kaiju that you meet is, like, a parent that got ripped away from her children. And so you just see her trying to be like, go give this to my children, this egg that they need to eat. They need to be fed. It's pretty
sounds intense. Like a video game. Give this egg to my children. Quests begin. It's so weird because, like, what's she doing attacking cities? And then she gets pissed off when she's torn away from her family. Come on, don't attack cities.
Actually, I believe she was simply existing.
Yep, she was. They just found her and they're like, better take her away before she causes trouble.
Everyone knows if you're a monster, you shouldn't exist. So that's on her.
That's
on her.
That's the problem. That's one of the conflicts. But yeah, Kaiju Max. It's a really cool book. And if you want to check that out, then you should follow the links on this episode's page, because through our Amazon links, you can buy this awesome book and support Nerdy Show. So that's a good selection from that Book of the Month Club. Any other quick title mentions of cool stuff you've encountered because of that?
We got the most recent Sandman, which is really cool. And what's also cool about this is they do hangouts with the authors. So the authors either come to the comic book shop or you can meet with them over Hangout. So for that one, we got a custom Sandman title card that was signed by Neil Gaiman and then got to do a hangout with Neil Gaiman, which was
like a prestigious and fancy book club.
No, it's not.
Do you have to like pay to be in it?
Well, you have to pay for the books, so it's like.
Yeah, how does one join this club?
You can join online, and actually, they'll ship books to you too. So if you want access to the hangouts with all of these awesome people, you can totally do that.
I think you do, Cap.
That's probably a lot easier than having them tell you that you can come pick up the book.
Right,
it's probably a lot easier than going to a comic convention to meet the same people who are just going to be on a hangout.
Well, it's kind of different when we do it, but sure.
No.
But yeah, what's the store called that runs this?
Comics Experience, COMIX Experience.
Cool.
It's extreme. Comics with an X.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Extreme.
Probably wear, I don't know, like torn jeans and fingerless gloves.
Sweet.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Boar, you've been playing some games as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Somehow I survived the Steam summer sale without spending more than... I think I only ended up spending about $50, which is pretty good for me.
How many games did you get?
I think only like 2 or 3.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I had a problem this year where everything that was like featured and on sale and like everybody was buying the popular list, I already either owned every single one of them or I completely ruled them out a long time ago as games that I don't want.
Yeah, I didn't want most of them. So I was like, I was just browsing through and I was like, oh, I'm done with this.
Yeah. My Steam library is so huge now, and I've been buying stuff like as it comes out that the summer sale just didn't
give me your
impact
name and password
me very much.
So I
no.
can play all those games.
No.
Not paying.
But I have been revisiting Witcher 3 lately. Because I never
the expansions
ended up
are out
finishing
now, right?
It. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's two expansions that are out now, and I've wanted to play them, but I never finished like the main campaign, so I've got back into it. Went through that whole, like, what the hell am I doing in this game phase, and then finally finished the main story, and I've been working on the first expansion, and it's so good.
I have to ask you, do they expand on Gwent in the expansion? Like, are there new cards? That's all I care about is Gwent.
I don't know. I completely ignore that.
No.
I ignore card games
it's
that are
so
in every
good.
RPG.
Those are the best parts.
No, I hate it.
Final Fantasy VIII, I hate it, but
if
the card
I wanted
game
to play a card
so
game, I'd play, like, Hearthstone, or, like, I'd play a card game.
Hearthstone's not even good.
I guess for I can see the appeal for some people. I just don't care.
It's a good game.
Yeah, Brandon's all mad about Gwent. He keeps trying to get me to pick it up, like play the app or whatever, and just.
No, they're coming out with, it's not out yet. That was like a beta sign up, but they're coming out with an actual Gwent. And you should be excited about that, Bor.
No,
it's
not.
A really fun game. If you just played it for 1 second, I could be like, oh, they put a catapult, and I'm like, oh, but I put this vampire down, boom, and then I still lose. But it's a fun game.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And then you floop the pig.
You floop the plague.
The pig.
The pig.
Did anybody catch the new Card Wars episode of Adventure Time?
No.
No, there's a new one?
Yeah.
I need to catch up on Adventure Time so much.
It's so weird because I feel like...
It's a really old episode now that I'm remembering it.
The because Card Wars is a real thing now.
They're making a new game, too. Like, they're making a sequel to that where you can play against other people.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's going to be more like Hearthstone where, you know, you can... fight your
but
friends.
Here's the thing. I feel like someone reached out to them and said, hey, we have this product based on your game. Can you do another episode featuring this so we can, you know, maybe, you know, advertise
it's,
a little bit?
It's probably because of that new game.
And the thing is that Cartoon Network was promoting it really heavily. It's a normal episode, but they were promoting it as a special episode. But then you watch the episode, and in pure Adventure Time fashion, it is so not what that first episode was. It's about Jake exercising the ghost of his 20s because he's about to enter his 40s and like and bonding with his daughter who's like really into like tarot reading or some weird Adventure Time version of it, and also having like rage issues and criticizing and also parodying in some respects like magic tournaments. And I was like, it's a great episode.
I really need to get caught up. Adventure Time is so good.
They totally spun the entire thing on its head. Like, if that was a promotion, they're like, yeah, we're just going to do our shit. Fuck you.
You know what else I feel really bad about, Cap?
Hmm.
I have not watched the last episode of Gravity Falls.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I kind of dropped the ball on that. You've never seen Gravity Falls?
I think I saw 5 minutes and I was like, I'm bored.
But dude, that's two seasons of material for a finite story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
And it's fantastic.
It does. I mean, really fantastic.
I might watch it now that it's on Hulu, but the problem is I don't have cable. So if it's not online.
That's actually what sparked my remembering that I forgot to watch the last episode is I saw it on Hulu. I was like,
is there swearing?
Oh, crap, I forgot about this.
Is there swearing in it?
No.
Is there penis jokes?
Probably some. They're pretty thin.
Subtle ones, maybe. So it was on Disney.
Well, so is Pickle and Peanut, man. Pickle and Peanut's a big walking dick joke.
Yeah, and Pickle and Peanut would be way better if they could swear. I'm just saying.
They don't need to.
Oh, they do.
They don't, man, there's some weird shit in that show.
They could be violent.
It's still great. It's still a great show. Pickle and Peanut rocks.
But another thing that I did is I got into the World of Warcraft Legion beta.
What's that?
It's the next expansion that comes out in August.
Is that the one with the pandas?
No, it's not the one with the pandas.
Squirrel people now.
There's more demons.
There's always more demons.
It's always just this one's more demons.
Is there fame?
And you can be demon hunter class is the new class.
So you can't play as a demon?
No.
Why can't you play as a demon?
If you're a warlock, you could summon one and then have it do
that.
Your bidding.
I know, I did that, man.
Yeah.
I did that. I was a sexy female skeleton dancing like... All I did after I hit level 60 and I'm like, I don't want to raid a dungeon. You just go in the middle of a bunch of people and just start dancing and summoning things. You're sexy half naked. You take all your clothes off and you're a naked skeleton woman dancing.
I did a similar thing except for
that's all you do in these games.
I made a female gnome and I called her Spinner and I just kind of danced around naked in the Alliance cities.
That was the only good thing. Oh. That's what I did in Star Wars Galaxies 2. Anyway.
But anyway, I haven't gotten too far into it. I played the Demon Hunter class a little bit, which seemed pretty awesome. But I'll probably have more thoughts on that later on. But it's pretty awesome so far, and the graphics engine was upgraded again, and it looks better. I'm pretty excited for what's coming.
I hope there's
many
new fetch quests.
So far, I tried to use some of my original characters. Like, you can copy them over for the beta and play, see how your characters are going to play.
Yeah.
And they completely changed the way that most of my characters play. So I feel like an idiot right now trying to use characters that I've had for years and years.
Won't that piss people off, though, who have gotten so used to
them? They do it every expansion.
Like, they don't want anything changed about any of their skills or their like skill sets or how you do the battle mechanics. And then,
yeah. No, they once again threw everything out the window and changed it. So it's a learning experience again.
They should make it more like Overwatch. the battle system.
I hear Blizzard's making a game kind of like Overwatch. Oh, wait.
Several episodes ago, we went on a little field trip before we recorded an episode. We hopped over to a farmer's market just a stone's throw from the house that we record in, and we tried out some marshmallows manufactured by some friends of some friends. A group called Sugar Rush Marshmallows, two awesome ladies, Jean and Julie, making some very weird flavors. So we came back, we talked about the marshmallows we ate, and then we joked, man, wouldn't it be cool if there were ecto-cooler marshmallows? Wouldn't it be cool if they could make an ecto-cooler marshmallow-filled Twinkie? And they listened to that episode and took that challenge and did exactly that. And I actually have a box of ecto-cooler Twinkies.
Whoa. I was wondering what the hell that
right
was.
Here. And not only that,
I didn't
that,
even see it. You hit it.
I actually spent all of last night filming a cooking video with them, kind of a pilot for a show we might do on this Nerdy Show YouTube channel at some point in time called Adamantium Chef, and it teaches you how to make your own
Ecto
Twinkie.
Sorry.
Yeah. So you might remember years ago we had the fan-funded bacon episode where we got given a ludicrous amount of money, so we drove to Nashville and filmed a cooking video with the Proto Men that was a parody of Epic Mealtime. And there's many regrettable things that happened in it, but it still is quite awesome. And so maybe we can rekindle our favorite parts of that with this Adamantium Chef thing. If it's something that's popular, if it's something you guys want to see, obviously watch the Nerdy Show feeds for when that video comes out. We're hoping it's going to come out before the Ghostbusters film. But let me pass these around.
Am I just passing this container or am I eating one?
You can eat one. Would you like to eat one, Brandon?
I mean,
they're very good.
I can't not on the friggin' show.
Oh, God.
And,
oh.
No, we're good.
And we also have straight up...
God, what am I doing?
Straight up marshmallows as well.
Oh,
what's in here awesome. That makes it different than a Twinkie?
Well, for starters, it's been made from scratch. There's no corn syrup in it at all. And
there have one, Jessica.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We actually have a setup here, so we have a special technology, so we can feed Jess a Twinkie. Brandon, if you just place that into the device, and Jess, if you'd open your mouth, I think you'll be able to just press it real hard. You have to just squash it kind of in there. Just
All right, I'm just doing what I'm told. That was a good idea.
I think it was.
You didn't have to.
Use your mouth.
Mm.
I brought actual Ecto Cooler to wash this down with.
I'm so sticky. Is this marshmallow in it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's never coming off your monitor. Oh, okay. I'll try a bite, and I'm gonna go wash my hands. Thanks for telling me to do that.
No problem. Thanks for doing it.
I'm sure.
See, it's
just start licking the screen. Get it.
The transfer rate's not too good, so the flavors maybe didn't come through. But the actual thing.
How many gigabits is the transfer rate on the food technology?
They succeeded in creating a better Twinkie shell to such a degree that I don't know, I crave it now.
I don't know. I think it should be a stuffed fish.
The Ecto Cooler flavor has actually an interesting challenge coming through because the Twinkie is so delicious that it overpowers a lot of that. And then they also found that, you know, when it comes out, if you just use regular Ecto Cooler in the recipe, it's like this weird kind of cummy white. So they added food coloring, and the food coloring changes the density of the marshmallow, which alters the flavor. So we actually have plain and dyed marshmallows here as well to kind of taste the variance, as well as just unadulterated Ecto Cooler marshmallow fluff, which if you're looking for that Ecto Cooler flavor bore, you're going to want to try some of that.
I found my Ecto Cooler flavor.
It's stuck in my fingernails.
Nom, nom. I don't know if you want to dig into that or not.
Oh, geez, there's a tub of it.
Oh.
Yeah, do it. Let me pass that to him. Yo, I only need one spoon because Boar's the only one who's going to eat this. Here you go.
Why am I the only one that's going to eat this?
Because I'll just go out and say I'm a diabetic. Now eat it.
Send more through the screen. I'll gladly chow down on some.
Yeah, give me a spoon. I'll just...
Here.
Here, I'll put some on the spoon and I'll paint it on her. I'll give her a wig. Some hair made out of this shit.
Funny you should mention that.
Oh man, I've got it all on my shirt now.
It's very sticky.
It's getting everywhere.
This studio is just...
It's just ectoplasm. It comes right out in the wash.
It's everywhere.
All right.
How is it in my pants?
I'm going to try a pretty substantial bite.
Okay.
All right.
I think I can handle...
Oh my God.
This amount.
Please don't. Don't do it.
Does that look good?
It's
look
so
good?
Thick. It's not dripping. It's just staying like that. Oh, fuck. Can you breathe? Oh. How chewy is it?
Nom.
Anyhow, thanks so much to Sugar Rush Marshmallows for making our weird dreams come true.
So they flavored this with actual Ecto Cooler?
Actual Ecto Cooler, yes. Not Ecto Cooler flavored, but flavored by Ecto Cooler.
It's so thick. It's so thick. It's slowly moving.
That's going to plop right out after a short period of time.
It's a glue.
I think it will.
He turned it upside down. Sugar Rush Marshmallows, sugarrushmarshmallows.com. Unfortunately, if you don't live in Florida, they can't sell outside of Florida yet. But maybe someday you can follow them on Facebook, and they're really awesome people. And hopefully we'll do more weird food stuff in general here on Nerdy Show.
It's delicious, but there needs to be more Ecto Cooler.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we should probably double the quantity of Ecto Cooler in.
Yeah.
Because it's too thick, and then it's the flavor is not enough
Ecto
Cooler.
Right, it's kind of overpowered by the sugar.
Mm. Well, it is in their name.
With the spoon now.
This is a very detailed critique of Ecto Cooler Twinkies. It's like, there's just a hint of the Ecto Cooler. There needs to be more.
They're really good, though.
Honestly, it looks like that one spoonful that you just had at least a cup of sugar melted into it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. If I keel over, just, you know.
Whatever.
I admittedly, after a night of consuming these products repeatedly for science and for video, and then having one out of curiosity again this morning because it was delicious and I wanted to see how long it would take them to heat up in the oven to make them nice and warm, I did have a sensation of lightheadedness that I'd never quite experienced before. So real food was required after that. Anyhow, moving on to Ghostbusters related things. It's coming out, and
The movie?
The movie. The movie's coming out this very week. You're seeing it, and we're going to probably have some thoughts on it, but you're going to have to wait just to hear what I have to say about it for a while. But you guys can very well dig into that.
Oh, we have to see it?
If you want to.
I mean, I have free tickets. I don't know about
you. It's your choice.
I
actually don't plan on paying money to see it. I'm definitely going to buy a ticket for something else and walk in there because I did it for the Gem and the Holograms movie as well. I bought a ticket to Crimson Peak and walked in there. And
you're one of those guys. You got balls on you.
I don't like the cut of its jib.
You've been in trouble seriously in a movie theater before. I can't believe you would try something like
that. No, that was for potentially vandalizing a Coke machine.
But that was still in a movie theater.
It's different. I paid a ticket. I can walk into whatever theater I want. Let's see them stop me. Anyhow, I just, here's the thing, the reviews of the movie have been embargoed, so you're not allowed to, if you're a media agency, you're not allowed to review them. But in this case, a guy did see it, Matt Zions of Reckless Eating saw it, and he posted a review online, and
a scathing review.
A scathing review, and honestly, I'm not familiar with him, but he had some very sound points.
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised.
It didn't seem like he was really just hating on it for the sake of hating on it. He had some really valid points.
Yeah, and he wasn't like, he didn't express himself as a diehard fan of Ghostbusters. So he came in with an open mind, and
wasn't one of those guys like, oh, it's an all female cast.
And he was really surprised by how bad it was, and very angry about it. So now I'm not going to try to let this color my opinion. I was already going to not necessarily give them money for this product that I was unsure about to begin with, because I don't like funding things that I have questions about, but I understand that people will want to know my opinions
of
things.
That's the problem
so,
with movies, isn't it? It's
like, you know,
you don't
if
know
I can't get
you're...
a press pass, then I sometimes do that.
You don't know what you're paying for with, like, when you pay for a movie and you see it and it's horrible. I think because you don't want to fund future work, you should only have to pay for a movie when you're done watching it.
Yeah, or you could do what we did for Crystal Skull and get your money back after, because the audio went out for like 30 seconds.
That's true. We had a good sound technical reason why we could get our money back. And to this day, it still brings us a warmness to my heart knowing that I didn't pay any money to see Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
It's true.
Yeah, anyhow.
You bring up a valid point, though, because when there's an opening weekend with a movie like this that has like a pretty big following already,
everyone's
there's going to be a huge surge
it,
at the beginning
good,
just
yeah.
because of brand recognition.
Yeah. Or just and everyone's
they're,
seeing I mean, it.
They're pulling That's out the stops, or not pulling out the stops with the marketing push. So like Lyft last weekend in the San Francisco area had Ecto Cooler and Twinkies in actual like Ghostbuster mobiles going around that you could get picked up in. So like,
so
you could,
were these like full Ecto ones?
That's what they said. I mean, I never actually ended up seeing any pictures of them, but you could select like ghost mode, and then an Ecto one could come get you.
Huh. Ghost mode.
And yeah, weird. And they're already,
I mean,
like,
obviously demand was high, and so they weren't really ever available. And I think there's like two going around. But
there's pre-orders for the video game, like for the past month. And like, what game? I don't see any pictures or images of
what game.
It just says reserve your copy of Ghostbusters.
There's
today.
A Ghostbusters game.
Either that or it's a movie. But it just says reserve your copies.
There is a game. I haven't seen. I haven't looked. Admittedly,
it doesn't
but
say
I also
anything
seen
about
anything.
It. Yeah. They're. I feel like they're spending.
But they're
more
asking
money,
for pre-order money.
Yeah.
For just
yeah.
the name.
Mm-hmm. So I feel
That's
like they're spending more in marketing than they probably did making the movie or writing it.
Ugh.
But I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Well, so I guess we'll see. Well, this is us saying we'll see, I suppose. But confidence is not high. Before we go on to Pokemon Go, what's one more stopover? We got a new patron. Welcome, Wolf Boy, to the Nerdy Show Patreon.
Does he have a wolf dad, you think?
I might have a wolf dad.
Or does he need one?
Oh, you volunteering?
Org.
Yeah, well, you got the URL correct. Wolfdads.org. Yeah,
I go there all the time. I show everyone at work, and they go, "Is this CP?" And I go, "No, dog. Just click on it."
Combat points?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nerdy Show, the entire network and the show is entirely listener supported. We rely on you guys, and we give big, awesome perks in return. Like all kinds of outtakes and access to hangouts with us. So you should go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and check out all the possibilities and early releases as well. So plenty of reasons. Wolfboy is the newest addition to that team. If you give it $10 or more, you get a shout out. And Jade Anumi did just that. And Jess, I believe you've got that at the moment.
I do. Let me pull it up.
Do we have any negative shout outs?
This one has a little bit of a negative component to it, eventually.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so it is from Jade Numi, and he says, hola, mi amigos. I want a positive shout-out thingy, please. And so we're going to do this positive shout-out thingy. So they want to remind everyone who is looking for a lifelong friend that a lifelong friend is looking for you at your local animal shelter. And adopt a shelter animal today. Smiley face. And I can attest that because I just adopted two kittens from a shelter, and they are adorable and amazing.
And this PSA didn't make me cry like Sarah McLachlan would have me do.
You know what?
Oh, God, stop. No.
You adopted two kittens, but you could have adopted a kitten and then, like, a bird or a bunny rabbit.
Can you adopt birds?
Yeah, there's pararescues all over.
I have never seen that.
There are so many. Everyone's like, cats and dogs are cute, and I'm like, but fuck you, there's birds and bunnies that are being...
I have never even heard of a parrot rescue.
There are birds and bunnies being euthanized every day because everyone thinks cats are so fucking special. And everyone knows a cat loves you when it's a little baby, and then it gets older and it just lays there all day till you give it food.
That's not true.
I've seen your cats. He's just laying there in the kitchen, and I walk by and he goes, meow, and then I keep walking.
If you don't own the cat, most of the time they don't care about you.
See?
They have to have a relationship with you. They're not like dogs, and I love dogs, but dogs are weird creatures with strange relationships and dependency issues like crazy.
They eat their poop.
They need you to like them real bad.
Yep. I had an Italian greyhound in college, and he was very, very needy.
Oh, yeah. I remember old Salty.
Oh, greyhound.
Yep, Salty. Yep. Good old Salty.
Old Salty. You know, I think that's a brand of chips.
Old Salty.
Not even kidding.
Captain's Wafers?
Old Salty. It is
a
beer. Old Salty.
It is?
Old Salty. But, I don't know. I'm making this
But that was not the end of the shout out, I should add.
Oh, no. It's not. Yeah. So there's also blame the deed and not the breed. Pit bulls are loving, caring animals. And then here's our negative shout out. Fuck PETA.
Who's PETA? From Hunger Games?
You make the gyros out of them. PETA. You cut them open and stuff the gyro meat in there.
PETA bread. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant from Hunger Games. Fuck that guy, right? He looks like a fucking Hunger mannequin Games. In a suit. Anyway. Yeah.
I don't.
Hunger Games, eat a gyro. What's the problem? Then they're just games.
You know, he says pit bulls are loving breeds, but tell that to my 4-inch scar where a pit bull tried to eat my intestines, okay? And he was raised in a loving manner. But
she's actually talking about he or she, whoever the shout out was. They're actually talking about the people for eating tasty animals.
Oh, yes. I love that. I'm a part of PETA, so whatever. Sorry. I love eating tasty animals.
Yeah.
Peacocks? I'll try one, please. Yes, bring it. I'll have one.
I thought you were a bird lover. You just eat a peacock?
They owe me.
He did swear off eating all birds for like a month and a half.
I made it for 30 days without eating birds. And then I was like, you know what, chicken? It's your fault. You're so delicious. And then I ate it again. Now I eat birds. I'll eat a peacock, though. It's a game bird.
Okay.
Don't judge me with your judging eyes.
I'm not judging you. I'm just questioning.
You know, if I brought in a cooked
peacock,
love
of birds.
Right now, you'd be like, I'll have some of that. Is that the skull? Let me bite into it.
Yeah, but I don't have a professed love of birds that is world known.
You will after you eat this peacock.
What?
Sorry. What are we talking about?
If you dig what we do, then consider supporting us at Patreon. And if you'd like to find other ways to support us, well, just go to nerdyshow.com/support, where you'll find links to our Amazon link throughs where you can buy stuff on Amazon and send some money back to us, one-time donations, or links to where you can go on iTunes and rate and review all of our shows, where if you do post a review there, we'll read it. We actually haven't gotten any reviews in a while, and our rating numbers have slowed down, so we need you to rate and review us, because if we hit a good threshold, then more people will discover us, and that's a great monetary-less way for you to support.
I could adopt
network.
An animal and threatened one of those things where you like threaten to hurt it.
Those,
if no one
those
reviews.
Don't go over well. And as a representative
like,
of Nerdy Show, that would be
kitten.
Problematic for
I'm
all
just
of
trying
us.
To help.
We'd have
I
to
also
just
don't
cap.
Think our new patron would appreciate that very much.
Guys, I'm just trying to help the show.
We'd have to I'll disavow you. We'd have to disavow you. Like
if
a spy.
That's what it takes. I'll be that guy. Okay.
That won't. It won't do. It will accomplish nothing.
I will sacrifice myself. For Nerdy Show?
All right, let's talk about, condone your actions, Brandon.
Let's talk about Pokemon Go.
Oh, God.
So we talked about Pokemon Go, much like how we just talked about Ghostbusters, before it came out a few months back. We'll link to that episode so you can compare and contrast our situation here.
Hey, I would just, since we're talking about, or the referencing the previous time that we talked about it, every single thing that I thought was going to happen with Pokemon Go, it's totally on point.
Dead bodies.
Well, why don't you take the reins?
No,
here,
I don't want to take any reins, but it's basically like a watered down Ingress clone, which I totally called out, and that the AR would be kind of stupid.
Well, it's not even like 1.0 yet. Like if you look at the version, it's like 0.26.
Yeah.
Ingress is a game made by Niantic, the company that really created this game and licensed the good. Well, Nintendo bought into their company and then enabled them to make this Pokemon game. And you've probably experienced it in all your feeds, but essentially there's Pokemon all over the world in a virtual sense. There's different locations become Pokemon stops that are kind of somehow
usually
arbitrarily
parks,
selected.
Like all parks are like
all churches, no matter how small or weird.
How does it know? I know it's using like some sort of Google Maps thing because you can see the map of your neighborhood.
Yeah, they've got Google Maps.
But every
data.
Single, I live in a place where there's a bunch of parks, and every single park sign near me is a Pokestop, and then you click on it and it shows the sign. I'm like, where are they getting such good? I mean, I never thought Google, you know, Maps had such good quality images of everything, but I guess they do.
Yeah,
there must be some algorithm where it's like, this is a park, this is a park, this is a park. So.
Yeah, if you go into a like Google Maps and you look at a park, it'll be like, this is a park. And there's like
so
usually a little
already
icon.
Exists, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
So they have the data and
I don't
they
know
can differentiate it.
Gyms, though, because there's a few near me.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Freemason Center right near my house where it's totally a gym. And it's really funny because it's Freemasons.
Well, and the Westboro Hilarious. Baptist Church is a gym.
Oh, God.
But you'll be happy to know that as of last time I saw a report from it, it was claimed by a Clefairy called Love is Love.
Oh.
Huh.
And much like how the White House is also a gym, which is was at last I saw run by a or the leading Pokemon there was a Pidgeotto called Merica.
How I hope that's Obama's because he has to own that gym.
Yeah. I was just sitting there in the Oval Office, just battling people.
There's a gym right next to my work at this place called Toasted. And so it's when you click on the picture, it zooms in. They have a periodic table of cheeses inside of Toasted. So it's called the Gym of Periodic Table of Cheeses. So, God, and there's people who already have like 1,000 CP on their Pokemon.
Which is combat points.
Which is way more child porn than anyone should have.
It's a lot of child porn. Yeah. So.
The battling system is weird. It's mostly about collection at this point. It's a strange game, but it's fun. It's fun to kind of explore.
I've been the most social than I've been in years because of this game.
I've seen Snapchats of it, yeah. There's like
I have seen a lot of people that are just wandering down the street staring at their phones.
Yeah, every time I see someone walk with their phone now, it doesn't matter if they're old or young, I'm like, they're playing Pokemon Go. It's really weird.
Well, I see them walking in groups just staring at their phone while walking. I'm pretty sure.
This is the weirdest social experiment I've ever been part of, honestly.
But then you like talk to people. So normally like, people are just looking at their phone.
No, whoa, I wouldn't go that far.
I talk to people. Like people are like, "Hey, what team are you? Do you want to take this gym together?"
You talk to strangers?
Yeah.
Is there even a point?
I take candy from them too.
Talking to people?
Did you guys hear that there were people, I think I read it today, that they were using a Pokemon Lure, which is an item that you can pay for or get by leveling, which you can see on the map and it makes more Pokemon appear there for 30 minutes. And so they would place it on a Pokestop and then people would come by and they would like mug them and wait for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with it.
Yeah, this happened in O'Fallon, Missouri around 2 a.m. And they did exactly that. They knew that if they dropped a lure there, people would come out and that they would maybe be weak nerds so they could take him down. But they called the cops and these guys got busted. They were four people, 16 to 18, in a black BMW in a CVS parking lot.
I haven't seen any like so-called what you would think of as a nerd. I've seen like buff people with like yoga shirts on walking around.
It's really surprised me that like so many, I guess, like normal like friends of mine are playing, and I'm like, "You're playing?"
I've heard stories and seen pictures of cops playing it too.
Yes, ditto.
Wait, Ditto the Pokemon? I'm really confused.
No, Dugtrio. Oh, okay. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I've also heard of cops playing it as well. And there's in just 3 days' time from when we're recording this, in 3 days' time, a lot of substantially weird stuff has happened as a result of all these folks driving around. And I was out getting breakfast on Saturday morning, decided to check out the app on my way back and saw that there were some lures nearby and I didn't know what they were at that point. It was just kind of a bunch of weird cherry blossoms floating around a Pokestop. And then while driving around, there were some people in a car with the windows down. And they're like, "Hey, you playing Pokemon Go?" And we're like, "Yeah, we're playing Pokemon Go." And we had a conversation at a stoplight. Like these things happen.
This is the worst app that's ever come out for people who just want to drive normally and not be murdered. Because I've seen, there's been so many car accidents. I, being an asshole, was driving and I had my phone in the corner while I was driving and I was like, "Oh shit, there's a Pokemon." I was tapping on it, unbeknownst to me, slightly veering into the oncoming traffic. And then the last second I was like, "Whoops." And I was like, "You know what? Shutting it off."
Don't Pokemon Go and drive.
I'm just saying if I did it that one time, there's a lot of people probably doing it. So I don't know if the car accident, the 28 car pileup was real yet. I read the article where a guy stopped in the middle of like an interstate highway.
Yeah, that's
for
fake.
A Pikachu.
That's fake.
But it seems like that would probably happen at some point.
Yo, pro tip. Here's something I discovered.
Not Pikachu.
I haven't seen a wild one yet. I would probably do it.
Wait, here's how to get a Pikachu. This is fascinating. Oh, yeah. I didn't know this. I don't think anybody knew this.
I found out yesterday, but
you can Pikachu can be your starter if When the new professor, I forget what his name is.
Willow.
Professor Willow.
Willow.
He's like, Willow. He comes in, he's like, "Yo, choose your starter. Start walking in physical space. Start walking.
Walk away, like run from them.
Walk away, and as you walk away, the starters will reappear of like, select your starter. Just pick one on the screen. Do that like 3 or 4 times, and all of a sudden there will also be a Pikachu. And Pikachu can be your starter.
Yep, I didn't know that, but whatever.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And Dan and I were, or Arceus and I were driving around at about 3 a.m. last night after the Ecto Cooler Twinkie shoot, and we he had his app open, and I had mine open, but I wasn't looking at it because I was driving. It was in the cup holder. And then all of a sudden, we heard a thing, and he was like, shit, Squirtle. And so, like,
then you swerve, like, and you drift around the corner.
The street, was empty. So we made a quick U-turn, drove into a plaza, and drove around until we found that Squirtle. And that little bastard, he burst out of our balls and then ran away.
What?
That happened to me with a Clefairy and like three other Pokemon.
Yeah, if you don't capture them, sometimes they just run away if they're like yellow.
We also saw some mysterious places in plazas with lures on way after there should be people there.
Oh, yeah, places where you're like, no one should be here right now.
So maybe those also were potential mugging destinations. But naive Arceus and I, we were just like, oh, that's interesting. We didn't go there, but we thought about it.
You're like, oh, let's get mugged. Yeah, why not? I mean, you got to use common sense. Now, if you see one in a place you know no one should ever be, you shouldn't go there.
Well, on the subject,
it doesn't seem like there's a lot of common sense being used sometimes with this game.
Well, you got to catch them all. Fuck you.
Yeah,
got to catch them all,
or else.
There was a girl who was walking through a field that no one ever walks through because they try to make you walk through more parks and fields because they don't want you catching Pokemon on roads like idiots. And so she came across like a dead body.
It was she was actually. It was a lake. She found a dead body in a lake.
Ooh, and a Magikarp.
Yeah, she 19 years old in Riverton, Wyoming. She
that sounds like a fake city name, but
she said, I was trying to get a Pokemon from a natural water resource. So she jumped a fence to go towards the river in search of Pokemon. I was walking towards the bridge along the shore when I saw something in the water. I had to take a second look and realized it was a body.
She took a picture of the Pokemon she was hunting like, on the body.
It's like a ghastly coming out of its mouth.
it was ruled as accidental and happened less than 24 hours earlier, so it's kind of neat that she actually caught it. But she told CNN that the discovery of a corpse would not deter her from returning to the game. She said, I might go get a water Pokemon. I'm going to try.
Wow.
So now she's become a Nancy Drew, too. So in addition to Pokemon Go, she's going to be solving all of these mysteries.
Or she has a special power where she can use Pokemon Go to find missing persons. And there can be a whole show about that.
All they have to do is hunt down the Ghastly.
I think there's a Pikachu around this corner. And your son.
Now, on the topic of social interactions and crimes and so on, and also profiling...
Where are we going with this?
There was a post on Reddit on R Gaming from Sloth of Doom who shared a story in a thread devoted to what happens when you have Pokemon Go and you can't get to sleep. You inexplicably walk around at night because of the game. So he said, I couldn't sleep, so I downloaded the game and took a 3 a.m. walk. There's a little park a few blocks from me. I had three Pokestops and a gym, so I wandered over there to see what the game could offer.
I already know where this is going.
Picked up an Eevee outside my house and a couple of trash Pokemon on the way to the park. So I get there and wander around a little, checking out the stops, rustling grass and so on. Go a few blocks and a couple more stops when I hear from the darkness, yo, my man! Turn around, I see two sketchy-looking dudes on a bench in the dark. I must have walked right by them without noticing them. Great. One of them waves, my man, check over there by the blue truck. We got an Onix earlier.
That's fucking hard. That shit has been popping up everywhere. That happened to me yesterday. Yeah. I was walking. There's a lake near my house, and I was walking around it, and I used a lure because I had one from leveling. And so I'm sitting there on a bench, and there's actual birds around me, and I'm ignoring them for Pokemon. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, like, eight people come out of nowhere, and it freaks me out. I'm like, okay, and I just keep walking around the lake. And as I'm walking, looking for Pokemon, this like 50-year-old guy is a 50-year-old man in a pickup truck comes by the road next to the lake, and he's like, hey! I was like, hello? And he's like, hey, you! And I was like, oh shit, what did I do? And he's like, hey! And there's a car behind him honking because this guy has stopped. There's a car like beeping. And he's like, hey, there's a Goldeen by the gym right down the street. He keeps spawning. And I was like, okay, thank you. And there's a car behind him honking because this dude in the truck has stopped yelling at me where to find a Goldeen. And it's like a 50-year-old man. And I was like, what's happening? And meanwhile, where I placed the Pokaler, there's like three people with man buns and like four other like kids on bikes around there. It's really weird.
You don't want to be part of this world.
You don't have to be. Just stay
I'm not.
Inside.
But it is fascinating though. It's so. I mean, like Miitomo, for example, was fun, but also it didn't really expand. It sort of stayed the same.
What
so we all
could
burnt
meet
out
virtual people yeah. while walking around.
So this seems like it might have some more longevity to it, especially because it's only the beginning of it, and all these fascinating things are happening simply because it turns out a lot of people like Pokemon. Who knew?
Did you see what the Murakami Museum did?
No, what they do?
So there's this like famous Japanese museum close to South Florida, right?
Yeah, it's in Boca.
And they posted, and you can look on their Facebook or their website. It's like, hey guys, want to look for a bunch of Pokemon? We have 15 Pokestops and 2 gyms right in the Murakami Gardens. And they do. And they posted a map of it in Pokemon Go, showing the entire layout with all their gyms and their Pokestops and their characters. And like they like, we've got a Lickitung. I'm like, this is like a famous Japanese museum, but okay, whatever.
Well, conversely, I saw a photo of a sign put up in a store window that says Pokemon are for paying customers only.
That's hilarious.
And a sign that I don't know if it was true or not. I don't know if it was real, but from in a workplace, we are paying you to work, not chase fictional video game characters all day. Save it for your break time or lunch. Otherwise, you'll have plenty of time unemployed to, quote, catch them all.
Yeah. There's going to be a rebellion when they just when they're discriminating against Pokemon masters.
Now, here's the thing. We don't really know how they choose locations for this, right? So
I choose you.
And,
I,
and like I mentioned, it picks a lot of churches. Well, a guy named Boone Sheridan, he lives in an old church that hasn't been a real church for a very long time.
Now, every Sunday, there's 50 people with cell phones in there.
Oh, no, right. Not even Sunday.
Every day. All day. Yeah, outside of his house, getting Pokemon.
People had the same problem when Ingress was out. Not as big of a scale as this, but there are people's houses that'll sometimes get flagged as like a Pokestop or a gym or something.
That's so weird.
And so they'll get people just kind of hanging around outside of it.
And then you have to contact Nintendo, who will never answer, and be like, get rid of
it. That's the problem this guy has been having, is that, yeah, you can't report these things really easily.
Yeah, here's some choice quotes from his Twitter. It opens up new avenues of rights and privacy. Clearly someone used an ancient 40-plus-year-old database to still consider this a church. Do I even have rights when it comes to a virtual location imposed on me? Businesses have expectations, but this is my home. And then finally, does having a gym layered on my house enhance or detract from my home's value?
Maybe. It might add to
it. It could add to it if it was a commercial space.
They could have a lot of fun, though, because if it's private property and people are wandering on there because it's a Pokestop, you could like hide some really funny, cool shit in there. Or have like a really mean dog, or like bury some nails in the ground. or like run some copper wiring throughout your grass that no one can see, and then just like, when there's people there, hit a button that electrifies it. And then turn the sprinklers on.
You're like
being
one tragedy away from becoming a supervillain.
I'm just like, you could turn the sprinklers on and then be like, oh, and these copper wires are electrified. Boop. It'd be hilarious. They wouldn't die, maybe. Hey, it's private property.
I think you watched Home Alone a lot when you were a kid.
There's paint cans.
They're trying to get my Pokemon.
I'm just saying, if people are fucking with where you live, you need to have a little fun with it and murder everyone.
Stay out of the grass, you filthy animal.
It's more of an issue of they're having a bunch of people just pointlessly loitering outside their house and
causing like extra neighborhood hubbub.
At least
they're
not
cars parking.
At least they're not doing drugs.
A lot of people seem to play this game by just driving slowly.
Which they're really stupid, because you can totally hook up a phone to like a drone you're piloting and just add a little button that flicks up to catch Pokemon. So you can just flick the ball. That's all you need.
Easily,
is one
easily
finger.
Done.
Yeah, easily.
It is actually pretty easily done, but you know, whatever. I'm sure there's tutorials online how to use Pokemon Go on a drone right now.
Yeah, you know, something I thought about the ways that we could manipulate the Pokemon Pokestop thing is like when Pokeballs of Steelix finally comes out of this long hiatus, our Pokemon role-playing podcast, we could put up flyers at all those destinations, and we would know that people who love Pokemon are going to be at these places.
Oh, no, I didn't even think of that. Advertising at Pokestops for, like, anything now.
Yeah.
Oh, can we...
Fascinating,
can
huh?
Can we put up, like, Lost Dog, and it's a Rattata, and just post it on, like, the signs of parks and shit?
Yeah, I would love that.
Have you seen my Pikachu? Okay, just do this.
By the way, we got to give a shout out to Stephen Peckham, who has a Zubat called the Commodore, and Garrier, who has a Bulbasaur called Sir Burns-a-Lot.
Yep, I didn't see the Bulbasaur, but I saw the Commodore.
I have a Weedle called Crushed Weedle.
I saw that. Is there a picture of you stepping on him?
Maybe. If I like damage my phone irreparably again, maybe I'll make that happen.
Because one of our correspondents, Fat Tits Finnegan,
yeah,
which is actually her name in Pokemon Go.
No.
Yeah. Is just keeps sending me pictures of her stepping on them. Just like not just of every Pokemon. There's every picture is a Pokemon with her crushing it beneath her foot in like a park somewhere. And I tried 30 names. I tried my own name, and I don't know where if there's a filter or there's other Brandons out there. But I also tried Mr. Poopy Butthole, and I tried like 30 variations of it with like zeros for the O's or spelling. Nothing worked. So I ended up with like Pooface McAssram is my character's name because I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, so. As much as I'm not a huge fan of the game, I did install it a day early when it launched in Australia and I was able to get Boar.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
three,
cool.
Three letters.
Three letters, Boar.
Fuck you. I just want to be the head of a gym so everyone can see Pooface McAssram with his Pokemon butt sex. That's my Pokemon. My strongest Pokemon's name is butt sex.
If you got a funny name for a Pokemon, that's a good reason to try to win a gym.
Win a gym at a church.
Yeah. You know what I'm starting to get really sick of after only 3 days, though?
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go on Facebook. Like, oh my god, I get it. Pokemon show up at Starbucks. You don't have to post a picture of it every time.
If it's in your cup.
You can put it wherever you want, pretty much.
No.
Yeah, you can. I caught one that was like inside of my monitor when I first started playing it. Like,
and weren't you like, it's in my monitor, that's so cool.
No, no. It's because I know that the augmented reality really can't sense what's around, so it just kind of randomly places them.
I just took a picture at the beginning of this show where he's on my drink.
Well, yeah, you forced Spira. Him to be on
Did
your
you see
drink.
It? No, man, he was just on.
Yeah.
Him.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Him. Yeah. I mean, this is one when I was pooping. This just happened before, too. It was in the bathroom while I was pooping. I'm not wearing pants. You can barely
see it. You can manipulate it, but they do anchor to, you know, a certain point. So if you get a good one, you're like, oh, I got a good one this time. Cool.
Like a Magikarp dying in the park?
No. Like just mentioned, this thing is really rudimentary. It's really early on. Boar, I mean, you know, Ingress is a relatively complex game with lots going on. And Pokemon Go does not tell you how to do a lot of stuff, but it still is not very complex.
I had to go online to figure out how combat worked.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm able to win a gym. Like it just freezes at like when it's at very like no health and like nothing.
Oh, I have problems all the time. Like I'm lucky if it even starts up and lists any stats for me. It'll just be like, here you are on the map.
I beat a gym, but then it turned white, and then nothing was there, and I didn't know how to leave my Pokemon.
I mean, it's glitchy as hell. The servers are still overloaded, and I have an iPhone 5, and if you're walking around outdoors doing Pokemon Go stuff, and say you have a phone case to protect your phone on, oh, that sucker's going to heat up. It's going to feel like you're definitely getting cancer.
Did you hear about the Pokemon bracelet so you don't have to use your phone?
Yeah, Pokemon Go Plus.
And it's completely sold out already, and you probably won't find it until next year.
But if you want to go on Amazon and request they notify you about that, you can do that through our Nerdy Show links.
It's never going to be available.
It will be available, just like how Amiibos became available. You know, like it's a
By the time it gets available, though, I won't care anymore.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Pokemon Go Plus is a wristband. It has the pedometer in it. It makes it so you won't have to turn on your phone to do anything. It'll buzz you and let you know there's a Pokemon in
the
area.
There's like a glowing button.
That is a really annoying thing about it.
There's a glowing button in the middle.
And probably what turns me off the most is that I have to have like my phone on and the screen on. Yeah. So I have to like keep touching it all the time.
You can't leave it in the background
or locked. And,
yeah.
And yeah, and that really sucks the battery away.
It's not
so
a well-made
I always
app.
Want to like close it and like, but if you close it, then you don't get any Pokemon.
You just get one of those giant battery packs that you hook onto the back of your phone.
Yeah. I don't want to rig up my phone to just never turn the screen off either. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's a very flawed experience, but it's also one that's engrossing enough that, you know, obviously a lot of people are doing it. And the Pokemon Go Plus, I found out a cool feature of it today. I don't know all the details. I'm sure no one does really in the public. But if it's used in conjunction with the new Pokemon Sun and Moon, it opens up a brand new location and possibly more.
I don't care.
But you don't care about Pokemon in general.
I mean, I like Vulpix and I like some flying types, but I haven't seen a Vulpix yet. I'm just after Diamond, I don't want to play any more Pokemon games. I'm all Pokemon'd out. I spent like 300 hours on it. I'm never doing it again. I'm traumatized.
Some features that are coming soon.
Some features that you're going to care about, Brandon. Pay attention.
You can capture, yes, somehow without wasting Pokeballs, you can capture Pokemon, I don't know how, with your bracelet by hitting a button. There's no screen on it. I don't know how that works.
And they haven't elaborated on that, and I don't get it either. But just in general, they're going to be adding more ways to interact with Pokestops and gyms. You'll be able to customize some functions. There's going to be some kind of global leadership scoreboard.
You're supposed to be able to
Pokemon trading, the core of Pokemon in general is going to be a thing.
I like that.
I'd probably be more interested in it if there was like anything you could do without walking around, because it's not always the most convenient thing in the world to walk around.
I told you to use a drone. That'd be really cool for you.
Yeah, but okay, say you're at work or you're just bored someplace that doesn't have a Pokestop. Like,
you don't need a Pokestop to catch Pokemon. Just to get
I realize that, but say you're in a situation where you can't just start wandering around a neighborhood in the...
Like Russia.
Yeah. Sure. Like, what if you're in Florida and it's 105 degrees outside?
They do spawn around you if you don't move after a while. Like, every couple minutes, there's a respawning that happens, so they could appear on you. I've been just at home. I left it on for a few minutes.
But what if you get really bored of just catching Pokemon and you can't
play
do anything?
You don't need to play the game. Yeah. Then you delete it.
It just doesn't seem like you can do anything with the Pokemon yet.
What? And fight that's gyms, kind of, and then your name's in the top.
But I have to go, like, down to the local...
gym.
Cold Church. Stone Creamery and fight Pokemon.
You can get ice cream, though. Boy, you can get ice cream.
I don't know. I'm not down with this whole thing. You could also play
a real video game and not ever touch this.
That's the most likely outcome.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I'd never downloaded this thing, and I wish it didn't exist. It is the biggest waste of my fucking time. And I'd still, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to put it back on, and I don't fucking know why. I have a problem. With addiction, boy.
It's going to be like Miitomo, too. It's the same thing.
I didn't even
like,
get to level 5 with it yet.
Oh, my God. I'm at level 8. I know people at level 14.
I can't even use gyms yet, so they're irrelevant for me.
The comparison with Miitomo, the thing that I think is going to maybe change it up, though, is like Miitomo was as fun as anything like Form Spring where you answer questions like ever was. But it dries up after a while. You're like, well, geez, this is really... super time consuming, but there is a way to make Pokemon Go can be a more, you can invest yourself in it, but it can also be really casual. You can just walk around and be like, oh yeah, cool, catch a Pokemon, put the phone away again, like, you know, maybe another Pokemon comes by. You don't have to like really stop and think and consider. You can just kind of do. You can do very casually in the background of your life, or you can throw yourself in balls to the wall because you gotta catch them all, goddammit, foaming at the mouth, Pokemaniac.
Sorry, I'm playing loading Pokemon Go. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I figure. Well, hey, we're kind of running short on time, but I do have some information about a real life Pokemon, kind of.
Snorlax?
Like, well, it's kind of like it's a biorobotic stingray that swims in a facsimile of blood. Is that that's a Pokemon, right?
That sounds like something I would create. Yeah, what is it?
Would you like to swim in your blood?
I would love for there to be a stingray swimming in my blood.
So, a team of researchers from the Weiss Institute for Biologically Inspired Engineering at Harvard have created a fully controllable robotic rayfish made from gold and biomatter.
That sounds expensive.
It's very tiny. It's very, very, very small. This could, in fact, be maybe a stepping stone to some degree of biological nanomachines, maybe. It's not self-replicating or anything.
I was going to say, what is the purpose?
Well, they're exploring the possibilities of creating something like this at all. No one's ever made anything like this before. But they call it an adaptive swimming animal or a tissue engineered robot. And basically they looked at the undulating motion that a rayfish, you know, swims. It kind of like has wrinkly folds and it goes.
It just kind of flaps them. Yeah,
it flaps them and then they move. So they created that motion by genetically modifying muscle fibers harvested from neonatal rat hearts to respond to pulses of blue lights.
What? How do they? I want to see the research. And like, you know what? The best part of a rat to use is the heart for making.
And we're gonna make the heart respond to blue lights.
Was this from The Onion or is this real? I don't understand how you do that, but also I'm not a scientist, so I guess I wouldn't understand how you do that.
So then it took those fibers they made and they structured them onto a gold endoskeleton in a pattern so that when the fibers contract, it can swim like a ray. Basically, the muscles create the downstroke and then the upstroke is made by the gold skeleton springing backwards.
Where does the blood come in?
Well, it doesn't swim in water. It swims in a clear liquid that looks like water called Tyrode solution, which contains all the stuff blood has, including sugars and muscles sugars that the muscles use as fuel.
Oh, so their experiment is to literally recreate something swimming through your bloodstream. It's just they can't do it on that scale yet. So,
kind of
a tiny machine that's going to go swim through your bloodstream and repair something. That's the only point.
That's definitely one of the applications.
Because if you have something in your veins, you're going to need it really to swim more than you're going to need anything else.
Yeah,
that'd be a good way to clear blockages or something.
Yeah, well, I was like, why else are they simulating blood unless they're preparing to miniaturize it to go into?
I always thought it'd be a tiny like submarine,
and then people would go inside.
Yeah.
No.
a la Interspace.
I mean, miniaturization technology, we got a ways to wait for that. But, you know, eventually maybe you can have an entire naval port inside of you. There's other ways to do that presently in the present day, but, you know, that's
maybe if somebody could make a theme park inside your body.
Right, exactly.
What's really annoying is I think if we just kept breeding the shortest people together for the past 100 years, we would already have like nano sized.
You're
people.
Halfway there.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I mated with another short person, we'd get like a tinier person. Then 100 years later, you keep doing that, there will be whole villages on the head of a pin.
Sweet.
I mean, I don't think that can happen because of something about brain matter, but it could. And we should have been doing that.
You could be one of the original.
And then like, you'd have a
everybody could trace their family origins back to you.
You'd have an entire.
You should start this experiment.
You'd have an entire
right
people
now.
That can go inside your body and fix you. And we wouldn't even have to spend any money on it. They'd be tiny. What are you going to give? Like, you give them a little tiny piece of food that's enough for a year.
They'd also be maybe difficult it kind of sounds like a slave race. You're creating a slave race to serve you inside your body.
But if I created them, it's okay. They serve. I am their god.
And he's going to be their great-great-grandfather.
I mean, I gave them life, and I can take it away.
And you can feed them
little bits. Yeah, so if you want to see this thing work, there's some video we'll link to on this episode's page. Basically, they use like a flashing rod with a blue light, and you can watch this little tiny, tiny weird fish swim through obstacles. They'll just guide it with the flashing light.
So it follows the light.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it follows it, and the light instructs the muscles to move, and it's weird, man. It's super weird. Mm-hmm. And cool looking, very cool looking. John West, our frequent SciTech correspondent, made sure that I recognize that he's been talking about this all along because he's been a big proponent of something he calls blood computing, where...
He does a lot of experiments in his house with blood computing.
Where you, and this is his words, where you abuse the fact that blood can be used in place of mem resistors to make a neural net-like computer. So
whatever you just said, okay.
That's going to make sense to somebody. It hardly makes sense to me, but maybe we'll have him on the show and explain this again. I think I had him go into it one time before. I don't remember when that was, though. And so this is, I mean, it's a fascinating blend of the premise of robotics, of taking like mechanical pieces and combining it with living tissue, so that's a cyborg, but then also having engineered all of it, and that's something kind of new.
You know what this sounds exactly like? Witchcraft. Witchcraft and hoodoo, and everyone who creates this is going to be burned. I'm just saying. I called it.
I'm waiting for it to get to the level of Borg nanobots, like nanoprobes. To be able to repair your body and create cybernetic implants that
I've got a nano probe for you.
But why, if the Borg have that, and this is something I've often wondered, if the Borg have that, why do they always look like hot garbage?
That's fucked up, man. I was just watching First Contact today, so this is real weird.
It's because they're more utilitarian. They don't care about the aesthetics.
Well, then how come?
It's all about function.
But they're pale. It's like their blood's not even working.
Well, their blood does work, but they just don't need hemoglobin.
Explain the female that I watched today who was leading the Borg in First Contact.
Oh, the Borg Queen?
The Borg Queen?
She's not really the Queen.
She is. Yeah.
Yeah, but others exist in the current timeline when she went back in time.
She did clone herself. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, never mind.
Okay, so...
Question
answered. Myth busted.
I would rather... I'd like to be a cyborg. Rather than this soft, fleshy, disgusting thing.
What if you had to sacrifice, like, your individual mind, though?
Would you be a
Borg drone?
Obviously not.
Okay. Jeez. So you'd be a cyborg.
I just want to be a cyborg.
But you don't want to be part of a hive mind.
Well, I mean, if the hive mind's really cool.
The hive mind is
clique,
the Borg.
Like, we'll hang out together, play Pokemon Go. Whatever.
I'm pretty sure that's already,
that's definitely already
a hive mind.
Go Team Valor. Which one's Valor? Red, right?
I picked it because I like Phoenix.
It's a good emblem. There's actually a funny end note to the that story from Reddit. The guy hung out with the dudes who pointed him out to the Onyx. They were right. There was an Onyx over there. He ended up chatting with them, told them where he got his Eevee, and they convinced him to join Team Valor because he hadn't hit level 5 yet. And so, like, when you hit level 5, we can lock that shit down in our neighborhood.
And then they mugged him.
No, don't be mean.
What?
A cop showed up.
Oh, no.
And he was, and the guy said, yeah, so it turns out two 20-something black dudes and a 40-year-old white guy chilling in the park at 3 a.m. looks strange. It took a bit of talking to convince the cop we weren't doing a drug deal and a bit longer to explain the game. Then the cop downloaded the fucking game on his phone and asked us how to get started. Go red team.
Do you think you can get out of a traffic ticket? Like if a cop pulls you over for like, he's like, you're driving erratically. Like, I'm sorry, a Pikachu just appeared out of nowhere. And it would be like, oh, never mind. I was getting that one too. And I'll just let you go.
It's a different world now, man. It's a different world. We've been talking about this for years. Back
augmented reality is dangerous, boy.
Back in 2009, in our top 20 nerdy things of the year, our annual list that we do, we rated augmented reality at number 11. It was just emerging then. Last year, we rated the Microsoft HoloLens at number 18. And here we are, augmented reality, though it's still ludicrously primitive on these phone apps, it's still not even remotely performing to what it could be. It has actually kind of finally debuted for the general public. People actually are using it, and not well, but they're using it. And it's actually in 3 days' time altered the way that the world works in a weird way.
It's not due to the augmented reality portion of it, though.
Well, it's due to people interfacing with the virtual world in real space superimposed over their own space. Like, not the actual fighting of the Pokemon, but the fact that they know that, you know, there's a link between themselves in the physical space and something anchored to that physical space.
What happens
space
when you turn
world?
The AR camera off? Because I saw
it
that
just
that
makes
was
a generic
option.
Field.
Yeah, it's like a forest, yeah.
So then you really yeah, can't
you,
see.
You don't have to use
the
shitty augmented reality background when you're battling Pokemon. You can get rid of that.
Yeah.
I actually turned it off to see if it saved battery. Do
you think it does?
I think it might a little bit. But I mean, logically, if your camera does not turning on,
oh, that's
every
true.
Time,
but that's part of the. Should. That's one of the most fun things is seeing what stupid shit is behind the Pokemon and seeing if you want to take a picture of it.
Yeah, that's but when I'm at say. When I'm walking back home and it's like 15%, and I'm like, oh god, I gotta make it. Gotta
yeah.
stretch this as far as possible.
I was walking during a lightning storm. And it was really bad, and I was like, well, there's a gym right over here. I'll go home later. It got really bad. I started running home.
So what do they have at the gym? Raichu and I mean like is it an Elekid? Like no, what's going on yeah. over there?
You know what? I don't know how you find certain Pokemon. You'd think like at nighttime you'd find more like ghost types or something, but it doesn't work.
I have heard that is in fact the case, and there are cemeteries and roadside memorials that have been turned into Pokestops.
Granddad, are you that ghastly? Granddad? Granddad.
I caught him. I turned him in for candy.
I love you, Granddad, but I need this candy. I need this fucking candy, Granddad. Don't you hold on to me, dead Granddad.
Your CP was not high enough, Granddad.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, Nerdy Show will be returning next week for our main show is of course this show, this kind of show you're watching here, this news show. That's the thing we do every other week. In the interim weeks, we do different kinds of programming. Next week, well, it's an all new episode of Nerdy Show Book Club. So if you're still finishing up our read along book with the community, Ernest Cline's Armada, that's the next book we're talking about, as well as the other stuff we've been reading. And Brandon's making a face because
I'm not
knows.
Making a face. I just felt like throwing up a little bit.
He knows what happened.
No, I don't.
And also, if everything goes well, Star Wars Celebration's happening in the UK real soon, and we expect to be able to do a State of the Empire to come out immediately after that, so we can report on everything that happened there. Fingers crossed. It's going to be a heck of a hectic recording, but we're going to try for it. And after that, well, maybe some very different sounding Nerdy Show programs for a couple weeks while I'm touring the Southwest.
Yep, it's all going to be new, like brand new news and info about Pokemon Go every week.
maybe we'll shake it up completely and it'll just be me and Brandon sitting on your couch.
Just
and
doing
that's it.
Thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That sounds good to me.
We'll see what happens, man.
We'll see I won't drink any caffeine. We'll see. I'll just be like, what's up?
So it'll be real chill. Okay. Chill out times. The Brandon Boar coming in 2 weeks.
I'm not wearing any clothes.
B&B chill out time.
B&B chill.
Oh, jeez.
B&B go to a B&B?
We should go to a B&B to record. B&B Junction down the street.
B&B's B&B Adventure.
At B&B Junction.
Right on.
I'm already having a great time.
Okay. Let's get the fuck out of here.
That's a great idea.
Taking us out is it's a Pokemon related song. It's Pokemon by Hot Dad. He from his classic record TV, where he did alternate songs for over 100 television shows. and this is his take on Pokemon. Actually, I suggested it being our a new theme song for Pokeballs of Steelix that got shot down, but enjoy this anyway. It's really good. I like it.
Listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud or Audio Boom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. If you want to send me some money for a little bit of weed, check out nerdyshow.com/giftdollysomeweed. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more network perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can override this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks, and don't forget to bring a towel. If it's geeky, we've got it covered, just like a towel would.
It's really hard to do tally like that for so long.
Are you the one who's editing the show?
Yeah.
You should keep all five takes in there. Don't edit any of that.
Extra 20 minutes
leave
long.
Leave the whole ending segment in. Just be like, I'm not editing that. Just leave it in. It's funnier.